and say, you know, a nice touch of color would look so beautiful, not just for my guy, but it would just, you know, make the abaya look much more attractive. So I'm going to put on a tie or a scarf. Now you might think, well, what's the problem with that? However, it is, if a kohen wears an extra garment on his big kehuna, the whole service is possible. Even something like that. Even if he's not changing the service. He's doing the service exactly what he's supposed to be doing. All he has is, you know, a watch on, or a tie, or a scarf, or he's wearing a pair of socks because he's going barefoot and it's cold. Because remember, the korbanos are outside, they're not inside. At the courtyard. All of that is possible. Because when it comes to korbanos, you just gotta follow the rules. You don't bring your own individuality to it. So the kohen represents the faithful servant of Hashem, who is consistent. Every day he does the same thing. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The kohen represents consistency, stability, reliability, dependability, all of those types of virtues that we associate with someone who is not a creature of their moods, right? Sometimes, I mean, many of us change with our moods. Some days we're happy, some days we're sad. The kohen represents stability. Now, the Levi represents a different type of avodah. The Levi's avodah was primarily Shira v'Zimra. Shira v'Zimra, actually that means two different types of music. Shira is vocal music, and Zimra is instrumental music. Right? Tehillim were written, many Tehillim at least, were written to be sung in the Beis HaMikdash. And some Levi'im were vocalists, and some Levi'im were musicians. Some did both, depending on the instrument that you're playing. And it's very unfortunate that we really do not have a record at all. We do not have a record of what the music was in the Beis HaMikdash. And now Tehillim has a truck. There are Tame and Amina, but number one, we don't even know how that sounds. Although some Tehillim play their something. But number two, it's not even clear that the truck of Tehillim corresponds to what was sung in the Beis HaMikdash. Some say, but I think it's a Christian thing primarily, but it may have a ring of truth because they're very old. Some say that the Gregorian chants in the Hapa of the Catholic Church were taken over from the city of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I can't say that that's true, but I also cannot say that it's false, because it is indeed possible, because after all, the Romans did destroy the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Catholic Church started around that time. So it could have very well have been possible that they took over snippets. That we have famous Hasidic stories generally about Ovdei Avodah Zarah taking beautiful nigunim and the Rebbe liberates them. I don't know. I have no idea. But there is such a claim that some of the Gregorian chants are from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In Tehillim, there are many different words that introduce Tehillim. I mean, you probably had a shir or a class in Tehillim. And some of these words were not sure. It says Nechilos and Nichtam, all sorts of different words. And Yonas Elam. And some say this refers to different musical styles. These were directions to the singers and to the musicians how to play. But once again, we largely do not know what those things are. Some musicologists have tried to fool around and guess, but the truth is, the reasonable question, if you didn't have a notation system like you have today, it's very hard to predict. I mean, how would you know, even if you had a notation system, if it's not the same as our present, how would you know what it's supposed to sound like? Okay. I mean, even truck. I mean, the truth of the matter is, although Chazal tell us the Tamim in Chumash and the Nima Ksuvim were given to Moshe the Sinai, but not the particular way that they're sung, because the proof of the matter is Ashkenazim and Sephardim sing them differently. So the truck is a notation system, but the actual musicality of the truck, so to speak, was a matter of minhag. It's not a matter of what the actual melody. Yeah.
Because music is very subjective, is it possible that people won't enjoy the music of the
Levi'im? Say again, enjoy,
because music is very subjective, yeah. Is it possible that people won't enjoy the music of the Levi'im in the Beis HaMikdash?
Well, I think like anything else, I mean, you know, you can ask the same question, you know, is it possible that a person won't enjoy davening? It absolutely is possible. But that just means that we haven't reached a certain spiritual level. I think initially it may very well be the case that the music might sound foreign. Now, let's imagine we heard the music today. It's probably very, very different than Mordechai Ben David or Avraham Fried. You know, it's not going to be like that. And we might find it very odd and strange. But since it is a spiritual music that's infused with Kedusha, so I think our assumption would be that eventually, if a person would grow in their Avodas Hashem, they would feel the spiritual power of the music, even if it's not their normal musical taste and the like. I mean, listen, initially, like any spiritual experience, a person might, you know, we don't like to say it sometimes, but you know, a person could be bored with davening, could be bored with Shabbos, you know, everything in Machlis, on some superficial level, we don't always enjoy, but if a person works and grows, so a person can reach a certain level of pleasure. So the music would be the same thing. But here is the difference, in some extent it says, between the Levi and the Kohen. If the Kohen is supposed to keep the rules and not deviate and not improvise and do the same thing every single day, the Avodah of Shira and Zimra involves creativity, improvisation, and individuality. Now again, we don't have a record of this, but it's clear that the Torah does not mandate how, you know, prayers are supposed to be sung. If a lady could play in a certain way, or a lady could sing in a certain way, that would be totally appropriate. And the nature of music is a person gets lost in the music. Right? Sometimes you see a musician, you see how deep it is, right? The person can close their eyes. You know, it's very much a very enveloping experience. The Vilna Gaon says that the Heichal of Megina, the celestial chamber of music, is the closest to the Heichal of Torah, or the Heichal of Tshuva, or the Heichal of Tears. It's way up there. Tremendously powerful. By the way, just as a little aside, it's not the topic I want to talk about, this is why people say that the music that comes from corrupt and immoral sources can affect you, because in effect music has a much bigger power than what you read in a book or whatever it is.
Did this apply to classical music?
So this is a big machlokas. So some people say this. So some people say, look, so if you're telling me